I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There. This is a podcast about the outdoors, from your window box and garden, to the fields on the edge of town, to the forests, prairies, seashores, and wilderness. On the show, we explore our relationship with nature through stories, interviews, essays, and even some fiction. We travel around the U.S. and the world with tales of love and heartbreak, passion and adversity, desperation and triumph. A few months ago, a dear friend of mine from college emailed me and asked if she could interview me. She wanted to talk about an experience I had had in the outdoors in the summer of 2014, an experience that had changed both my career path and my mental health. You're about to hear that interview, but first, a little background. The thing she wanted to talk about was a backpacking trip I had done, a thru-hike of the Colorado Trail. The Colorado Trail is kind of like a mini version of the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail. It's a 500-mile footpath, and it goes from Denver to Durango through the Rocky Mountains. I was a total newbie as far as backpacking was concerned. We'll talk more about that later. But in the spring of 2014, I quit my job, packed everything I needed into my backpack, and started walking. In this episode, we revisit that experience. We'll talk about what drove me to flee from society, what life was like on the trail, and how those 5 weeks in the wilderness changed me. I'll let my friend take it from here.
This is Amy Streeter reporting for Out There. Sorry.
This is great that I get to edit this.
It is essential that you edit this. So Willow, you hiked the Colorado Trail by yourself last summer. How did you come to even have the idea of quitting your job, changing your life around, and just leaving for the summer to hike through the mountains on your own?
Well, a couple things had come together. One was that I was just feeling like I needed a change in life. I was working for the NPR station in Wyoming, and I'd been there for a few years. And I liked the job. I liked my colleagues. It was a good job. It was well respected. I felt like I was doing meaningful work. But I didn't feel like I loved it enough to make it worth the amount of stress it was. And it was the kind of thing where you talk to people who just seem really excited about getting out of bed every morning and going to do whatever they do professionally. And I didn't feel like I had that. And I wanted to have that. And so that was part of it, that I just felt like, okay, I don't love what I'm doing enough. And people always said, well, what would you like to do instead? What would you rather do? And I said, well, if I knew that, I would be doing it already. And so I kind of had this feeling like maybe if I get away for a little bit, I can think about that some. So that was part of it. The other part was that my mother had passed away several years earlier, and that had hit me really hard. We were very close. She was a single mom. I was an only child. And I had never really taken time to process that. And that was sort of starting to manifest itself in health problems, which is a whole long story. But at any rate, it just seemed like I needed to take some time to emotionally process that. And then I read this book called Wild by Cheryl Strayed, who probably everyone who's listening has probably also read it, because it seems like everyone's read it. But anyway, it's about, if you haven't read it, it's about this woman who, her mother dies when she's in her 20s, and she becomes a heroin addict, and then she hikes a big part of the Pacific Crest Trail, and it's really hard, and she does everything wrong, but she comes out of it on track for life again. And so I kind of figured, okay, well, I don't have a heroin problem, but I kind of relate to the other pieces of this. And when I read this book, I said I want to do something like that. it immediately felt right to get away from everything for a little bit and go hike a long trail. And I had never done anything like that before, but it felt really right. So that's how the idea came about.
And did you have a third eye kind of going on in your mind, sort of wondering if this was a crazy thing to do? And how were people in your life responding?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely crazy.
For a practical person like you, this was an unusual thing for you to do.
Well, right. I mean, because it was clear to me that in order to do this, I would have to quit my job. And like I said, I liked my job. It was not something that I was desperate to get out of. And so that was actually probably one of the biggest hurdles, was saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to leave this really good job without anything lined up afterwards. That's not the kind of thing that I would normally do. And it's scary. I mean, I'm somebody who likes to plan things out and and know what's going to happen next. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. I mean, the plan was quit job, hike trail, giant question mark.
Like we all do every summer, right?
Right. And so, yeah, so that was scary. I don't know. In terms of the response that I got, I feel like it was a different response. So people my age who were, you know, in their 20s and 30s, when I told them about it, they usually said, oh, that sounds really cool. I wish I could do something like that. And then people my parents' age were a lot more skeptical. I mean, I remember telling my uncle about it when I first told him I was planning to do this. And I'm very close with my uncle. He's my closest family member, really, since I lost my mom. And I told him what I was planning to do. And he was very skeptical at first and kind of said, well, it's going to leave gaps in your resume. And what's this going to look like to potential future employers? I mean, is it going to look like, oh, you had this great job and you just quit for no reason? And I kind of said, you know, if somebody doesn't hire me because I thru-hiked the Colorado Trail, it's probably the wrong job for me. And he came around to it after a while and was then very supportive about it. There was a lot more skepticism amongst the older generation. And I remember telling my boss, like when I told my boss I was leaving my job to go do this, because people left the radio station. I mean, that wasn't weird that somebody would leave the radio station after being there for only a few years. But when I told him that I was leaving to go hike instead of, because usually people would leave to go to like a bigger radio station somewhere in a larger market, like a more prestigious job. And so when I told him that I was leaving to go hike, he just looks at me and he's like, so you're leaving us to go take a walk in the woods?
That's one way of putting it, I guess.
And I was like, yeah, pretty much. That's
that is, in fact, the plan at this moment. All right.
So, yeah, there was some skepticism, for sure.
And then I'm also just wondering how, because I know that you've always been a very active person, but taking a 5-week hike isn't something you can really do a dry run of. I mean, it is its own thing. So how did you prepare yourself physically for this? And like, what kind of background in terms of the outdoor life did you have that kind of set you up well for this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had been outdoorsy. I always liked to hike, and I cross-country ski in the winter, and I mountain bike. But at the point that I decided to do this trail, I had only been backpacking once, and it was for one night, literally one night. We hiked in like a mile. And so I was not a backpacker by any stretch of the imagination. I did not know what I was doing at all. And normally that would have been a giant red flag to me, and I would have said, oh, well, I don't know how to do this, so maybe I shouldn't go plan to hike 500 miles. But for some reason, I just had it in my mind that I could do this, and I really wanted to, and so I was like, well, I guess I'll figure it out. So I read a lot of books about backpacking, and I read a bunch of online forums. I read tons of gear reviews. I think all my friends got so bored of me talking about gear. And I tried out tons of, I mean, I ordered four tents and set them all up in my living room and like tried them all out and then like returned three of them and did the same thing with backpacks. So this was a process. But in terms of the actual training, you know, how do you get ready for doing a hike like this? I did try to do a bunch of hiking ahead of time, but there's nothing that really prepares you, or at least nothing that really prepared me for hiking 15 miles a day with 30 pounds on your back. I mean, I think I was in pretty good shape when I started, but I definitely was, I mean, the first week was rough. I was really sore. I got horrible blisters on my feet. My shoulders started going numb from the straps from my backpack. It was a little rough.
And then what did it look like on the trail? Did you just like wake up and walk and go to sleep? I mean, what did a day look like? What did a day feel like for you on the trail?
Yeah, pretty much. You wake up and walk and go to sleep. There's some eating also involved. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the nice things about hiking alone is that you didn't really have another person to work around in terms of schedule. So you could just do whatever you wanted the whole time. And so I usually would try to get up early just as it was starting to get light out and make coffee. Coffee's very important. I'd have coffee, I'd have some breakfast, pack up my tent and all my stuff, and then you kind of walk all day. And I would often take a break in the middle of the day and have lunch and read a little bit and sometimes have a nap. And then in the evenings, I would usually get to my campsite and have some dinner and write in my journal a little bit and go to sleep. I tried to stay awake until it got dark. That was... Sometimes it's hard because you're really tired, but yeah, that's kind of how the days looked.
So just logistically, how about like batteries for flashlights? I mean, you couldn't have carried 5 weeks worth of daily flashlight use within 30 pounds and food. I mean, how did the logistics work?
You can't carry 5 weeks worth of stuff. So I stopped in towns along the way. So the trail doesn't go through towns, but it goes close to towns. And so I would stop at least once a week. You usually got to a place where you could get to a town. So you'd get to the trail would cross a road and you'd hitchhike into town and you eat a lot of food and you get groceries. You get food for the next leg of the journey and you sleep in a bed and you take a shower and get clean. And that's amazing.
So I've also heard tell from a certain dear friend of mine that on the Colorado Trail, there are these things with like trail nicknames. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Right. Hikers get trail names. And these are nicknames that other people give you. And so I got my trail name the second day out on the trail. So I don't like being dirty. I know that comes as a surprise to most people who hear that I go backpacking, but I just don't really like being dirty. And so I, every day, pretty much, would take a bath in a stream or a lake or whatever a river. And for this purpose, I brought a swimsuit with me. So I was bathing in the river on day two. And I talked to some other hikers who came up. And then I ran into those same hikers the following day, and they had already hiked other long trails. And so I asked them, I said, oh, so you probably already have trail names. And they said, yes, this is what our trail names are. And then they asked me, well, do you have a trail name yet? And I said, no. And they said, well, we gave you one. And I said, oh, do tell. And they said, we named you Two Piece because of your swimsuit. Apparently other hikers don't hike with swimsuits. I think it's like an essential piece of gear, but yeah, so that was, and at first I was like, that's a little weird, but you can't, once other hikers start using it, you don't really have a choice in the matter. Like that's what people start calling you. And so to this day, other people that I met on the trail, when we'll talk, it's like, oh, hi, Two Piece.
Do these people know your real name or do people only know each other's trail names?
You know, I always introduced myself with both names, but there were a few hikers that I met that I actually don't know their real names. I only know their, and I'm still in touch with them, but like they're in my phone as Chopsticks, River Rat.
Hey, happened that was not in your daily hike routine? Were there animal encounters or spontaneous hailstorms that you came across? What are memorable moments?
Yeah, hailstorms. There was a lot of hail and a lot of rain. So thunderstorms are a big deal in the Rockies. There are thunderstorms pretty much every afternoon, and they can get very violent. The mountains just produce them because science. And so I remember the first few days I was out, I was expecting thunderstorms, and I had a plan. My plan was, okay, when it gets to be thunderstorm time, I'm going to set up my tent, and I'm going to have a nap, and I'm going to read a book, and wait for the thunderstorm to pass, and then pack up and keep going. And so the first few days, it would cloud over, and I kind of, and so I would set up my tent, and then it never actually stormed. And so a few days in, I said, well, this is silly. I'm just going to keep hiking. And so, as usual, clouds gathered, and I said, well, these clouds have not produced storms the last few days, so I'm just going to keep walking. Great. And this time, the thunderstorm did hit, and it hit really fast with hail and wind. The temperature must have dropped 20 degrees in like 5 seconds. And I didn't have time even to get my rain jacket out of my pack. It hit so fast. And so luckily, I hike with an umbrella. So I had this umbrella.
Did not expect that.
I know it sounds really silly, but the umbrella is awesome. Yes, you look like Mary Poppins. I mean, my umbrella is silver too, so like it really does look Mary Poppins-ish. I don't know. Did Mary Poppins have a silver umbrella? Maybe not. But anyway,
it was black. Okay. It was definitely black.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I got my umbrella. I was able to get my umbrella out, and that was about what I could do. And I was looking around to see if there were any trees anywhere that I could take shelter under. And the only trees was this little grove of aspen trees, which are not helpful for shelter, but that was all there was. And so I like scrambled down the hill, and I'm like crouching under these aspen trees, like underneath my umbrella. And the hail is just pouring down. It's freezing cold out. And the thunder and the lightning are basically coming right on top of each other, which in my mind means the storm is right there, which is probably true. And I'm thinking, so here I am clutching this umbrella, which is a metal stick.
Right.
In a lightning storm.
Good.
So that makes sense. But then it was like, well, if I don't have the umbrella up, because I hadn't had time to get my rain jacket out. And so if I didn't have the umbrella up, I was going to get really cold and wet. And I mean, hypothermia is a thing that happens. And so I was like, well, struck by lightning versus hypothermia, I don't know, like, what's better? And, you know, eventually 20 minutes later or so, the storm passed. But it was sort of a wake up call, like, oh, weather is real here. Don't mess with that. Respect it. And so that was one of the scary. I had some other scary storm moments, but that one was the first, and that was kind of like, okay, weather gods, I got it. Like, I will respect you now.
What instigated this whole trip was that you wanted time to process things and you wanted to figure things out. So did you have some deep thoughts out there on the trail? How did that go?
No. I didn't have any deep thoughts on the trail. And it's funny because before I left, I had a friend who I was sort of explaining what I was going to do. And I had a friend who said, well, you know, what do you think is going to happen out there, Lily? Do you think that the clouds are just going to part and you're going to all of a sudden know what you want to do with your life? Like, is that what's going to happen? And I was kind of like, well, sort of. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. And I sort of pictured myself walking along and like having all day every day to like think all these deep thoughts. And I don't think I thought a single deep thought in the entire trail. It just, that didn't happen because the trail was really hard and it threw all these things at me that I had to figure out. And there were blisters and my pack was heavy and there were really long stretches without water, you know, 22 miles in between water sources and things like that. You have to figure out how to get through that. And there were lightning storms and the trail demanded all of my energy most of the time and most of my attention. And so I didn't really have any deep thoughts on the trail. But after I was done with the trail, that's when I kind of figured out what I wanted to do next. And I remember coming, I had come home maybe the day before, and I was listening to Morning Edition on NPR and listening to my former colleagues at the radio station. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't miss this. I miss working with sound. I miss telling stories with sound. I miss hosting, you know, being the voice of a show. But I don't miss daily reporting. I don't miss going out and like chasing down the day's news and having a 4 o'clock deadline every day. And I just don't really want to go back to that. But I do still want to do radio. I do still want to do journalism. I just want to have a different focus.
So is it fair to say that this podcast was born out of that Colorado Trail experience?
Yeah. Sort of. So I had sort of had the vague idea for a podcast like this for a while. This is something I'd been thinking about. And initially I had thought that it would be something I would do on the side in addition to a real job. And then it became clear, okay, that this is going to take way too much time to do if you already have a full-time job. And so I sort of had this idea for this podcast, but hadn't really done anything about it. And so then when I came back, one of my colleagues at the radio station was interested in developing a show about the outdoors for the radio station. And so for quite a while, we talked about doing that through the radio station and having me host that. And that didn't end up working out for a variety of reasons, most notably just their timeline for getting something like this off the ground was pretty long. And I kind of said, you know, I need to, my time where I'm free to and able to develop this right now is now. And so I'd like to get going on this. So that's kind of where I went back to the original idea and said, okay, I'm going to work on this as a podcast and see how it goes.
And you said earlier that you you kind of longed for a situation where you get out of bed in the morning and are excited about what you're going to do. Do you feel that way now with this podcast orienting a lot of your regular time, a lot of your personal time? Are you excited that you're doing this?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's rough. It's rough starting a business, which is essentially what this is trying to do. Yeah, the content's great. I love coming up with ideas for shows, especially now that I'm starting to work with freelancers who are contributing pieces. I love collaborating with them and putting together the show. It's a lot more work than I expected. It's long hours. I mean, I'm working a day job and taking on freelance work to make it all work financially right now. And that means kind of brutally long days and brutally long weeks. So yeah, there are moments where I kind of think, well, gee, why am I doing this? Why don't I just go get a real job like an adult? I don't love it every day right now, but I think that if it grows into what I want it to be, it will be the job that I want.
And on a personal level, did the outdoors mean something different to you after doing this hike and having this experience?
I don't know that it's really changed my relationship to the outdoors, but what it did do is made me more confident. And this was because I had never really backpacked before, because I was doing something that I didn't know how to do. Doing that and succeeding was a real confidence booster. I finished the trail with this huge sense of optimism and again, confidence that I could do things even if I didn't know how to do them right now. If I wanted them enough, I would figure it out. And that to me was huge. Like, I don't think I would have had the guts to start this podcast, for instance, beforehand. I mean, maybe I would have started a podcast on the side like I had thought, but in terms of like going for this as my thing, like making this having this be my career move, I don't know that I would have had the confidence to do that before, because I would have said, well, I don't know how to start a podcast. I don't know how to start a business. So clearly I can't do this. Whereas now it's like, well, I didn't know how to hike a 500-mile trail before I did it either. And so I sort of read some books and I just did it.
So another agenda that you had for your hike was to process grief that you had never taken time, never had time to do. And as an extremely productive person, I kind of watched you go through those years just pushing from one goal to the next. When you did take a summer to prepare for this hike, execute this hike, come back from this hike, you know, resettle a little bit, do you feel like all that time in the outdoors gave you space to grieve? Do you feel like that was productive in that way for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that is probably the biggest thing that the hike did for me. And I don't think you ever quite get over the grief of losing a parent, especially not if you were really close to that parent. But yeah, I think it definitely, I sort of made peace with it in a way that I hadn't, and felt like I had time to, I don't know, sit in the proverbial mud puddle and like just think about stuff that I had kind of pushed to the back of my mind for a long time. And I remember there was one point on the hike where, this was toward the end of the hike, I had been in this gorgeous, gorgeous section of trail for several days. I'd been above tree line for a few days. So just these high alpine meadows with peaks everywhere in every direction. And it was just the most beautiful. I mean, I remember thinking, walking along and thinking, if there is a heaven, this is what it looks like. It is so pretty. And I'd been walking along the Continental Divide, and I get to this point where the trail was going to go down into this canyon, into the headwaters of this river. And it was early evening, the sun was just going down, and there were wildflowers, like the most gorgeous wildflowers everywhere, mountain peaks in every direction. And I just remember thinking how much my mother would have loved this spot. And I really wished that I could show it to her, that I could bring her there. I walked on these switchbacks sort of in tears, not sort of, in tears. Because I was like, I really wish that I could show this spot to her, that I could bring her here. And I was really sad that I couldn't. But at the same time, I felt really grateful that I had this moment to myself. That moment stood out to me as being very much a moment where I kind of made peace with things, where I was like, okay, it's never going to be okay. It's never going to be okay that you lose a parent. But it's a little bit more okay. Sorry. I don't know, somebody told me once that losing someone, like when you first lose someone, it's like you're carrying a boulder around all the time and you have this like huge heavy thing that is weighing you down, and there's nothing else you could focus on because you just, you're carrying a boulder around. That's really heavy.
Absorbing a lot of your concentration.
And then as time goes on, like eventually it becomes a little bit less heavy, and you, then you're just like carrying around a brick all the time, and then, or a cinder block or something. And then eventually, once you're able to make peace with things, it's more just like a little smooth pebble in your pocket. And I think that's what this, I think that's what this trail did for me, is that it's still there. The grief is still there. But instead of it weighing me down all the time, I can remember the wonderful things about my mom without always being sad about not having her.
That was a conversation about my through hike of the Colorado Trail. The person who was interviewing me was Amy Streeter. She's a close friend of mine from college. She's also a poet, and she's currently pursuing an MFA in creative writing at the University of Oregon. That's it for this episode of Out There. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. If you like the podcast, we'd love for you to give us some money. I know that's a blunt way to ask, but we're a new show on a tiny budget, and we need support from people like you in order to keep producing good stories. To make a contribution in any amount, you can go to outthereshow.com and click support. If you can't make a financial donation, there are a few other ways you can help us out. You could recommend the show on an online forum, you could tell your friends about it, or you could hang up one of our posters in your workplace or a local coffee shop. Just let me know you'd like a poster, and I'll send you one. My email address is willow@outthereshow.com. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.